If the FOMC decides to move down this symmetry track, and I haven't heard a lot about that, it's a very interesting concept. When you're doing all of the modeling, and now you decide to raise the federal funds rate, and you talk about between now and, say, 2018, you're causing a little higher level of inflation to get this average at 2%. Where is the inflection point on the federal funds rate that they project that, say, the 10-year gets to a certain point, or the Fed funds rate gets to a certain point where it now turns the other way so inflation starts running? Have they done modeling to see what the inflection point is?
You know, that's a great question, and it sounds like you're ready to be part of our staff, because that's exactly what they spend all their time trying to think about. We have a lot of models. We don't have just one model on that. We have a number of models that try to work on that. The point is that as economic conditions change, the answer to that question you just asked, well, what are interest rates going to look like, will be changing on an ongoing basis. That's why, you know, I think it's very difficult to answer questions about, well, what's the path of interest rates going to look like over the next 3 or 4 years? I can offer you an outlook for that, but the right answer is I'm going to do whatever it takes in terms of interest rate policy in order to hit these goals. You know, that's what we're going to be doing. And then, you know, how we're going to do that, that's the sort of the nuts and bolts of what our staffs here in Minneapolis and in Washington are trying to provide us with the best possible guidance along those dimensions.
Over the past several years, you've done quantitative easing. Will all those funds that went into quantitative easing ever be taken out of the marketplace?
So the Federal Reserve expanded its balance sheet, its asset holdings enormously from September 2008 through October, I guess, of 2014. And our balance sheet, which was once had $800 billion of assets, now has over $4 trillion of assets. And so what are those assets, first of all? And it's important to realize, basically what the Fed has done is create one kind of government liability, that is reserves held or deposits held by banks in the United States. Those are our liabilities, to buy up assets that have been issued by the federal government or backed by the federal government. So it's really a sort of asset swap in that sense. So to get to your question, what the Fed has said about its in terms of projecting out what's going to be the evolution of the balance sheet, right now, as assets mature, we're reinvesting the proceeds from that to keep the balance sheet at the same size. The committee issued a statement in September to say that policy of reinvestment may stop after the first interest rate increase. So that would start to, if we stopped those reinvestments, that would lead the balance sheet to the assets to start to fall, because things would mature and then we wouldn't be reinvesting. There's been no explicit commitment to sales of any kind. Now, the important thing, though, to remember, though, is that if there's organic growth in the economy, that $4 trillion balance sheet will be right-sized for that growing economy at some point in time. So as long as that is, you know, essentially what the, if you go back to September 2008, that $800 billion was largely currency. And as we have enough growth in currency demand, eventually that $4 trillion will also be like that as well. So there's no need, per se, for the Fed to reduce its balance sheet, because eventually that will be right-sized. The final thing, and the most important thing I should have said right at the beginning, is it doesn't matter how big our balance sheet is. Doesn't matter, because what you want us to do, you want us to do as the American people, is to hit these goals of inflation and employment. And we can do that whatever size our balance sheet is. And the way we do that is by changing the interest rate we pay on reserves held by our banks, by banks in the United States. If we do that, that modulates their willingness to make loans, and that modulates the demand for goods and services, and that will feed into inflation and employment. So no matter how big the balance sheet is, we can hit these objectives.
One more question,
sure. Yeah.
Do changes in the federal minimum wage have any effect on this as well? You talked about growing the economy, and as incomes grow, one would assume that would have a positive effect. But what's your analysis on that?
You know, it's Rick mentioned in his introduction, before I took this job, I was a professor of economics, and so I'm going to give you the economist's answer is, it depends. Minimum wage is a very complicated, increase in the minimum wage. I think there's a general agreement among most economists that if you raised it enough, it would be deleterious for labor markets. If it raised a sufficiently large amount, that would be pushed down unemployment. But you pointed out in your question that there's a counter, so why would it push down unemployment? It's because it raises the wages that employers have to pay their workers, and they may not be willing to hire many workers. On the other hand, when you raise the minimum wage, you are putting more money in people's pockets, and that will stimulate demand for goods and services. So on net, I think that's why it depends, and it's challenging to calculate. And you'll see different economists with different answers to your question. Thank you very much for the questions. Very insightful, as always. Thanks.